A lot of things in the Old Testament happen when people are young. You ever notice that? David was set apart by God when he was a young guy. You know, there were other kings in the Old Testament that became kings as young, very young people. In today's lesson, Solomon is an adult. And he's done this before. He's gone up to the high place. And the best we know that it's called the high place because it is thought that's where the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the tent of the meeting until David, Solomon's father, King David, had brought it into Jerusalem. Now, the temple hadn't been built yet in Jerusalem. Solomon is going to do that during his reign. But with the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, this place on this high hill, okay, was still a holy place. And there was an altar. And different than our altars today, this altar is a place that you would give a burnt offering. In other words, they would use grain and they would sometimes use sacrifices and it would be burned. And the purpose of burning it was that one, the owner would absolutely have to let it go. He couldn't bring it to the tent and say, I give this to God, but I'm going to take it home again. Okay? That'd be sort of like you putting in $5 in the plate and then taking it out again before you left the church. Okay? So instead, it was consumed. It was consumed in the terms of the flame. And the Old Testament speaks of it like incense, that this the smoke rises up and it would be like incense, that that God would know symbolically that as that went up, that it was a fragrant smell to God because people were giving a gift to the Lord. And Solomon had done this before. And in the Old Testament reading, you heard about how he had offered a whole lot of sacrifices all at one time. And basically the big number is meant to just say he would bring an abundant sacrifice. But in this time, in order to do this, he would stay overnight. This Gibeon is about 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Now, if we got into our SUV and we went up 6 miles, we could be there in a heartbeat. But in those days, they didn't have those kinds of wheels. And so it took a little longer to do the 6 miles. And you had to bring your sacrifices with you. And so this was a great journey to do this. And so he would stay overnight, and it wasn't uncommon that God would speak to his chosen people, individuals, through dreams. Dreams are not new in the Old Testament at this time. And there are people who have dreams after Solomon is long gone. But in the dream, God says, ask. You know, and this is what the amazing part of it is. If God said, ask for anything that you would want, our human tendencies would say the lottery, okay? Because we believe that would fix a lot of our problems. All right, we would ask for good health, maybe, especially if you have a little ache and pain currently. You'd say, boy, that would change your life. You know, you might ask, you know, for all kinds of things. If you were unemployed, you would ask for a job. If if your family, your children had health issues, you might even ask for others. If God said, ask for anything. And as Solomon is king, not only would he have personal issues in his own life, but all the people in which he ruled over, don't you think they had struggles too? And yet he doesn't ask, I want everybody healed. I mean, wouldn't that be a miracle? Or everybody to be financially stable? Or for our economy to really get a boost? Instead, he asked for an understanding mind. And in the Hebrew, that's like asking for a listening heart. Now we use the word listening and hearing and things like that in different ways. Parents will often talk to their children and say, "Are you listening to me?" And they'll say yes, but it's doing what? It's going in one ear and out the other. Okay? We go to school, and the teachers are trying to communicate information. And they're looking at the glassy-eyed stare that's kind of there in the, you know, in the student. And you try and get their attention. Are you listening? Yeah, I hear you. But it's not sinking in. And then there's times that people hear something, but it's like it goes right over their head. We have that phrase like, well, it's all Greek to me, you know, meaning I didn't understand a word of it, even though I heard it. Well, what Solomon is lifting up before the Lord is he doesn't want the word of the Lord to go over his head. He doesn't want the word of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord, to go in one ear and out the other. He wants it to come in, to be received, and to go to his heart. Jesus helps to understand the significance of that later on when he's teaching and he says, out of the heart comes, remember this? Lie, adultery, murder, hate, you know, all the sins of humanity. He lists them in a big, almost like a big paint brushstroke, if you will. The things that cause us troubles, the sin that is within us comes out of the heart. We often complain about our thinking, but it is the heart that is often the issue. Idols are in your heart. When people worship money, it's not merely how they think about money, it's here, or any other kind of idol. And so what Solomon is praying for, it's not a New Year's resolution, things that he's going to set goals for. This is what I would like for you to help me do, God. This is what I would like to accomplish, and I want your blessing. Instead, it's more of him shutting up. And almost like for Samuel, speak, O Lord, thy servant heareth. I need to rule these people. I need, in order to go forward in life, I need to find the right path and discern with all the obstacles and the challenges and the struggles. I need an open heart. Because then the open heart leads to the right kind of thinking. Because in receiving God, then the core values that God speaks of and the truth that God imparts, it's more than just really our thinking. It's what we believe and what we know to be true. We believe in our heart and we know in our mind that Jesus is Lord. But it begins in the heart. Faith resides in the heart. Solomon is teaching us and modeling for us the difference of how to begin a journey. Now, as we go into a new year, how do we often approach the journey? We talk about what we want to accomplish. We talk about what we want to change, what we think the struggles are. It could be weight loss, you know. It could be, you know, maybe more monetary control and less passion on spending. It could be, you know, I need to do things at the house. I need to accomplish. And you understand that as good as all of those might be, what really would change our life? It's not the things that come from within us, but it's the things that are given to us by the Lord. What really changes our life is his word. The word made flesh, Christmas we just celebrated, is all about God coming down in his son, Jesus Christ, being born of Mary, right? And then going the journey to the cross. And how that changes us. For to receive the word is to receive Christ himself. To receive the word is to have, like Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ in me. And Solomon is an early example of what it means to be a child of God who recognizes his life is nothing apart from God, who recognizing the wisdom of this world is so often foolishness and leads to disaster. And even the great things of this world will not give life and salvation. And so Solomon's prayer, and it's appropriate at this time of the year to have this, because it's often at this time of the year people pray. And they look forward to the journey of the next 12 months. And they wonder, you know, what is going to happen and what shall I do? And I think it's a marvelous opportunity, instead of making New Year's resolutions, to bring a new request, a renewed passion that is empowered by faith, that is honorable before the Lord, to have an open heart so that the mind can be discerning according to God's truth and God's way. What would change in your life if you were open, not by your working, but by the working of the faith, the Holy Spirit in you, to listen to God? What could change? And if you think about it, the possibilities are endless. But in reality, the possibilities are always about one. It's about God. It's not about us. Because to have an open heart is to focus on God. To have an open heart is to recognize it is a heart that's open to God, but not the things of this world. And then it gets lived out. Now, Solomon, he had some examples around him of people who sometimes were open to God and sometimes they weren't. You know? Have you ever been praised one week and then criticized the next? You know? You did something well and then next week you were a mess. Yeah. King David did those things. Solomon himself did those things. But every day, in our call to repentance and the granting of the forgiveness of our sins, you know what God is saying to us? Ask me. I want you to ask me. Not as a decision of your own self, but by the power of faith, let the heart be opened and the word comes in and the life is directed. Why? For what? To the glory of God. It's as simple as that. Amen.